This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, February 20th, 2008.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call today's meeting, February 20th, to order. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any late additions to our agenda. I'd like to add one, Carrie. A winter retreat recap. It's just an informational sheet. And you can pick one up over there. We're going to move on. Report from the chair. Again, I'd like to thank everybody for their efforts and hard work that everybody's been demonstrating this year. Seems like we're pulling a lot of things together. We had another George Peter Award that was a success. We had our child care forum presentation over at the Johnson Museum. Julie, again, thanks for your work with that. Let's move on to the report from the employee trustee, Michael. Either is the leader.
He can't make it today.
Okay. Move on. Report from our UA rep.
And I can do that.
Okay.
We've had an exciting couple weeks in the UA.
Good job on your note, by the way.
Oh yeah. The code of conduct, and what I'd like to do. Rodney couldn't make it, but he did send along a note that he wanted me to read here. Because they did have one meeting I was not at between CJC, the UA Exec Committee, and President Sport and some of his administrators. So I'm kind of bringing up to speed where we're at. The President responded to a resolution on the revised campus code of conduct at the beginning of this month. His response was a little bit of a surprise, so the UA met last Wednesday. It was an emergency meeting, and had a rousing and engaged meeting on his response. And that's true. It was an interesting meeting. There were a couple resolutions put forth. One was tabled, and the other was approved. The approved resolution was to send a letter to President Scorton and outline our opinion on how best to resolve and review his recommendations put forth in his letter. Just so everybody knows, I don't have the details here. I'm not going to try and restate the whole thing by any means, but President Sport did send a letter back on a revised campus code of conduct, and he agreed with some of the things that CJC had recommended for changes. He had partially agreed on others, and he had disagreed on a couple. So it was a combination of things, and that's what the letter that I was about to respond to. Upon the reporting of our meeting in the Sun and various other op-ed articles, President Scorton requested a meeting with the UA Executive Committee and CDC this past Monday. We met with him, and he expressed his firm belief and intentions to work with shared governance. He does not want to usurp the UA, but is most willing to work with the UA. He also expressed that his intention was not to dictate how his comments were to be vetted, but wanted his senior administrators involved in the reexamination process of his responses. The code and judicial committee met directly after the meeting with President Scorton, and progress is being made. Their intent is to have the revision resubmitted to the UA by mid-March, so that the UA can then forward it to President Scorton by the end of March for his review, and if need be, to review again until the document is in the form that all parties are satisfied with and can support. The intent is to have this document ready for the President to take to the Board of Trustees at their May meeting, so this can then be implemented on July 1st. So, sorry for reading that, but I wanted to make sure I had what he was there. And I think that's a very good summary of where we're at. I know some people have seen some emails and stuff. I think things have settled down quite a bit, and I think the groups are working together well, and they'll keep moving forward. Great, Bill. Anybody have any questions? Okay. At this time, we'll move on to the business of the day. Mary Opperman is our guest. Start with number one. You ready?
Sorry. I realized that I was late. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No.
It could be.
You're right on schedule. Do you have the agenda?
I do.
Okay. Our topics are the Child Care Facility and Family Services, a letter Mary will talk about, and a release time policy.
So, okay, so I can do the, let me do the easy ones first. So the child care facility is moving along, still on schedule, scheduled to open in April. August. In April there will be open forums for staff and faculty. In March there's open forums for the graduate students. And that's just to answer questions about how it will work. The issues around enrollment, priorities and that sort of thing are being vetted through the Child Care Committee of the UA. And I've said this before, but it's important that that the staff voice be heard on that committee. Amy's on it, and you know, it is the case that different populations are prioritizing things a little differently, so it's really important that the needs of the staff be vocally represented there. But we're making good progress, and I don't know, did people have specific questions?
Well, we've held the last EA meeting. We had Amy Rector and Lanasa Pavlian there, and it was an open meeting, and we were thrilled to have it at the Johnson School, which is a different location. Sorry, Johnson Museum. and we had about 60 people at time, so we were hoping, we had heard from you before that staff really needed to be heard, so we're hoping that that has an impact as well.
Good.
On the decisions that will be made, since there were about 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty thrilled with that. So thank you for letting us know, too. And so hopefully that will further it along as well. And there is, for those people who like to share PopPrint too and look through that, there will be an EA News and Views article with a few questions and answers from that meeting summarizing what happened. So I'd encourage everyone to spread that around your building as well for people who have questions about child care and family services.
It's moving along. All on schedule and very tight, but the EA is wondering if there's any other questions. I sent a letter a few years back, I think, to the supervisors of employees who were elected onto the employee assembly. I'm happy to do that again if it's necessary. Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, we seem to be having a lot of feedback on our members that they are giving a little pressure.
Sure.
I mean, it could be misinterpreted, but it could be legitimate.
Yeah.
And if you could, that would be great.
Yeah, I think Dennis found the one we've done a few years ago, so we can take a look at that and revise it. And it just needs the names of the. Does everyone here want it sent to their supervisors? Yeah, I think a lot of people, it's not necessary. So why don't one of you send me the list of people who need it sent?
Okay.
Okay.
We can definitely do that. I saw that letter, but I wasn't here a few years ago, and nobody seemed to, you know, have it. I don't know what I saw, but we'll get you a list.
That's the one you gave me, right?
Yeah. I found it quite by accident.
I think that would be helpful for
sure.
You.
I'll be happy to.
If questions arise about that in the future, would Dennis be the appropriate person to go to there?
No.
Okay.
About
having a letter sent. Should we?
Is that something we can keep on file in the Office of Assembly for future use year after year? Okay.
We think it's important with the elections coming up.
Right.
One of the people that would be, you know, interested.
Mm-hmm. What ought to happen, and this sort of goes into the next issue about release time, and the people should be coming to their supervisor before they decide to run.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Not every job. Is that, well, you have a lot of meetings. You're away from your jobs for a long period of time. There's a question about the extent to which creating an entitlement for release time. And, I mean, you can get the release time, but what's happening to the work and what's happening to your coworkers, those are conversations to have before the decision is made to run, so that people know what to expect, and as opposed to running, telling someone you were elected, and then waiting, expecting a letter from me to resolve the issues. They may let you go, but the feeling, if you haven't had those open conversations, isn't going to go away because they got a letter from me. Now they're just going to do it because I told them to, not because the work is any easier to manage. So, you know, I think maybe the better strategy would be when people are thinking about running to put out some information, maybe through the paw print, about what they ought to do in advance of their decision to run, in terms of talking to their coworkers and their supervisor, because some of the pressure comes from the coworkers who are picking up the slack while somebody's gone. So, you know, some jobs it just isn't that big of a deal. Other jobs it's a real big deal. And so I'm happy to send the letter, but if it comes after somebody's already been elected, so even if it means that they get the time off, the feeling that they have is, you can't make that feeling go away if they've really disrupted a workplace because the person didn't know, the supervisor didn't know, the coworkers didn't feel like they had any conversation about it. And so I think that's more the issue.
And also, too, I think it's important that anybody who's interested in running for the EA understands from the EA what that time commitment means.
I agree.
So I think that should be first.
People who came on and then really felt like the expectation for the amount of time was way more than they thought it was going to be.
So we might be a little more proactive as an EA while we're out there recruiting for new members, to give them an idea of what the expectations are.
Mm-hmm. Maybe think about whether there's ways to do your work differently so that it isn't pulling people from their jobs as much. Can you do telephonic meetings or...
We can explore that.
I'm not your business, not mine. I'm just saying,
yeah.
I'm happy to send a letter.
Right.
I'm just telling you, if somebody feels pressure, the letter isn't going to make the pressure go away. It might give them the time off. Which falls into the sort of the last thing about release time. So I went forward on some ideas around release time to the business officers of the colleges. And there is, frankly, a reluctance to an entitlement for more release time. I'm being honest. People think that wellness is a good idea and it's great to take classes and it's terrific to volunteer at the EA, and what they're saying to me is, we have more work to do with fewer people. You're pressing us to do flex time. You know, you're pressing us to do all these things, and we have more work to do with fewer people, and this just feels like an unfunded mandate, was actually the term that was used. So, you know, I think y'all need to think about that. You know, what I have some things I think need to be considered in terms of health and wellness that I want to talk to the leadership about. But what are you asking for that? You know, what is it that you think is not happening that should happen? So that we're on the same page about this. Because just going out and asking for more time off with pay isn't being met with applause.
That's
unpleasant. Yeah.
I have something to offer in that same light. I went back to Cal, who is my group, and we did some metrics. That's me, I'm sorry. We did some metrics on that, and we calculated that if, in fact, every employee was given this 90-minute per week release time, it would cost the university or the college about $3 million a year. And the question is, where is that money coming from?
Well, it doesn't really cost
money. Well, that's the...
It costs it in lost productivity.
Lost productivity. But the money that's paying, though, for this is a lot of times coming from grant funds.
Right, but it's... I hear it, and I understand the issue, and I certainly got my share of that yesterday. But it is also the case that unless you are replacing the individual, it doesn't cost the grant a penny.
Gotcha.
Right? What it costs is lost productivity time. And the question is whether or not, on wellness in particular, you gain more productivity by allowing people to be healthy than you lose by losing them a couple of times a week for an additional 30 minutes. And that, unfortunately, is not researched well enough for me to be able to say statistically blah, 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 blah. So that's the issue that we have. The bigger question, I know, Beth, I know this is a really important question, but the EA has extended the request beyond wellness. So I think rather than focusing on the specific 90 minutes, which is finding its own breaks out there, I think what we really need to do is step back, and you need to help me understand what you're asking for. If I try to nibble these people, you know, nibble at the corners of this issue, we're going to have a bad backlash. So what do you want in totality here? Just more time off for wellness, or time off for wellness and the EA and to take classes and to go to... I need to know what you're asking for so I know what I'm advancing, because this is not sliding through on the wellness. So if I break through these barriers in some fashion on wellness, only to know that you have three other paid release time requests backing it up, that's not an effective or fair strategy for the leadership. If you want a whole lot more, tell me what you want so I can be responsible about advancing it. Do you see what I mean? I mean, we were still on 90 minutes. I had my meeting with the chair and vice chair, and they had another list of things that might be things we should think about, and that's not bad. But it's not fair to them to do them sequentially. So I need to understand the overall concept.
The release time policy document, do we have that? I need to be refreshed on that.
It really didn't go very far because it was very inclusive. It was volunteering in the downtown community. It was release time for classes. It was release time for wellness. We had a committee that spent a long time looking at it, and we just didn't get anywhere with the business officers. This was years ago. So then the policy, I think, took out the actual amount of time and is more of a philosophical policy. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of says it's good to give people release time to do these different things. But it doesn't say how much or that you have to. And so then that was very nice, but it didn't do a thing. And so it just sort of sat there. And so I think if the issue is really release time, then I think... you know, you need to spend some time thinking about that and testing it, and, you know, because I'm not, if I go against this over and over again, it's just going to backfire on both of us.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I have a question for Mary and the group. Seeing as how each unit at Cornell runs itself like its own business and has its own issues and calls this an unfunded mandate,
well, they don't all call it an unfunded mandate.
For the areas, some units have no problem at all, do this already on their own. Some units have a big problem and will never be able to do it, and some units would like a little bit of guidance around it and say, well, if there was some sort of document we could follow, then we'll do it. So I'm wondering if it's worth pursuing, instead of a mandated policy, I'm wondering if, even though a guideline wouldn't make it 100% fair for everybody, would it move us forward so that the units that could move forward can, and can set an example for some of the more reluctant units?
Well, I think something along the lines of a white paper or a set of guidelines is a great idea. Before we can write that, I think that we're advancing wellness, right, because it came to us from a group of employees who are not permitted, were used to be permitted to use wellness, and then were prohibited from it unless they did it on their own time. That's what I took to the employee assembly, and that's what I've now asked Beth to try to advance. But separate from that, the EA came forward with another set of requests for release time. So I think, Beth, on wellness, we have some we can certainly do some things. What I need back from the EA is guidance about what it is you're looking for in terms of release time. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I can't really tell. Do you want a single release time policy? Do you want a number of policies?
I see where you, you know, the problem, you know, you get a wellness release policy, let's say approved or supported, and you come up 3 weeks later, oh, now we got to do a volunteer release time policy. That's going to be difficult, and that's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be
that's
difficult.
Right. And this whole document, I don't know who's seen it, even though it didn't have time in there, it did sum up a whole bunch of things. So if a 90-minute time is agreed upon for wellness, could everything else be thrown into that 90 minutes? So it's 90 minutes release time, a single policy for wellness, for volunteering, for classes, everything thrown in to one.
But does one size fit all, though?
It may not.
Well, 90 minutes isn't going to do you guys any good. You take a lot more than 90 minutes a week for EA.
Right, but it would help, and I know a lot of there's a lot of staff that if they take a class, they got to make up the time themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if they took a lunch class, they always overlap walking to, walking back.
Right.
But that would add up close to 90 minutes. Because there's a lot of people, some people might not take advantage of the wellness policy, but they would love that 90 minutes to go to a seminar,
mm-hmm.
An information technology forum on campus, or right, the president's address.
And that's exactly where I'm getting the resistance. Because if it's give me 90 minutes of pay time and I'll use it as I see fit, I'm dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because where do you stop that? And where does mm-hmm. the supervisor or the coworkers have any ability? We got into loggerheads the last time that this came up because the group that was pressing it, they had done a fabulous job, but they did not want any supervisory approval. They wanted it as an entitlement that individuals could take.
Mm-hmm.
And if a supervisor said no, they wanted a mediator to make the decision. And it just, yeah, it just didn't get anywhere because that was mm-hmm. the sense. So I think, you know, everyone generally is going in the right direction. I don't think that there's ill will here. I think the problem is that it's hard to define fair. So if you're a supervisor with limited numbers of people and an expanding workload, and you have 2 out of your 10 folks that are taking classes and going to wellness and have childcare constraints, and 8 screaming at you because those 2 do, what's fair? If you're a supervisor in an organization that is very flexible as long as the work gets done and all 10 of your people go, but the work all is able to get done, what's fair? So I'm just saying I think it's worth, before I go back through that very pleasant experience that I had yesterday, maybe what we need to do is make sure that if I'm going to do this and advance something, that I'm advancing what you believe mm-hmm. is responsive to what you're hearing from employees. And I'm not sure I understand that. I'm not sure if I'm going up saying we want 90 minutes a week and they can use it however they want. We want 90 minutes for wellness, plus if they're EA members, we want this, and if they're volunteering in the community, then we want that, and that doesn't count for taking classes. Or it's hard for me because right now I'm not understanding, is it each, am I supposed to add those together, or are they instead of each other, or, and that's how come it's never ended up as a codified policy, because can I tell you, if you add it all up, it's a lot, and those few people that do add it all up are all that folks remember. We probably have had 10 in the 12 years I've been here that takes everything that we have a guideline on, but those 10 people have now driven the perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get their degree, and they're on a flex schedule, and they're taking their wellness program, and they want to go to the seminars, and so, you know, you get one of those in your entire time, and suddenly they're the definition of what we need. So, I know that's not what most people would do. I know this isn't a real problem, but I don't think I'm doing a great job of advancing it this way. So I kind of took it soft on wellness, thought I was in a different place than I was on the 90 minutes, because I had gone before about the 90 minutes, thought we had an agreement. I must have heard it wrong. And so I'm in a different place just on wellness alone. And then, like I said, we had this conversation about some of these other interests that people have. So I would ask you to step back, think about everything we're trying to accomplish here, and give me a little guidance on how to go forward. In the meantime, I think Beth's point is probably the one we can do. Something softer than a policy, or guidance concept. It doesn't really equalize the playing field. It doesn't, because the people, I mean, we give more than what. My office gives 3 hours a week, and I wish more people would take it, frankly. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I'm more disturbed that more of our folks don't. Engineering gets 3 hours a week and pays for the wellness program. They're reporting absolutely no problems with it, and about 25% of their people are using the time to do all sorts of health-related things. They said it was great, didn't have any problems at all.
I think that there's also another challenge of having 90 minutes that can be used however you want, and that actually kind of defeats one of the points of having a wellness release time, which is to encourage staff to take wellness activities. You know, if they also can take classes and volunteer, those aren't going to have the same kind of benefits of productivity as taking wellness. But, you know, classes actually add stress, and they're going to come back and still feel...
Right, but they could be exercising on their own.
Yeah.
And what they really need for their own personal benefit is to take a class. And I can sit in any chair and argue this. I mean, I see all sides of this thing. I'm like the scarecrow. So I'm really looking for some guidance from you all on how you want me to advance this. Because it really is an employee-driven issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it would be good to have is the, you know, the guidance. So from what I've heard from some staff is that they don't even know where to begin. So if they had kind of an overall guidance and bulleted type list, here, take this to your supervisor, you know, you can request time for, you know, taking a class. And yeah, I think it would be more useful if it had an amount of time associated with it. Not that you're entitled to take that time, but again, just kind of a jumping off point for you and your supervisor to have a talk. Is it reasonable for a staff member to even request an hour a week to take a class? I think that, you know, those are some of the requests and feedback I've been getting from staff. They just don't even know if it is reasonable to have that dialogue. So maybe that, you know, would be helpful with something.
Well, and that was actually the guidance I got from the business officers, was to think about it in terms of the way we approach flex time, which is, it's not a requirement, but it's guidance to both the supervisor and the employee about how to approach a flex time request. That was their suggestion. That would be more likely to net positive responses than trying to drive a demand. So I think that probably would go over better. But I think what we really need to decide is, what is it that we're doing that guidance on? Mm-hmm. Are we doing it piecemeal on each of these things? Are we talking about an umbrella set of sort of a belief about what you might use flex time and time off for, or what?
The requests we've gotten so far were the wellness requests from staff. We've gotten a request that says for possible changing of university policy to allow some paid time off for bona fide full day charitable work for staff with more than 5, 10, or 20 years of service.
Right, I saw that one.
In the form of 2 weeks. Yep. And then there's two others. One from Cindy Allen, which has to do with people who, I believe she was Red Cross certified. So
she was actually talking about using her own time.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually recommending something, I think, that has some potential, which is, if you are a long service employee, the access to your sick bank,
mm-hmm.
for use of your sick bank for volunteering. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what she was.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, I have, so I don't misquote her. This is in the past, the university has provided release time with pay for employees volunteering in major disasters such as Katrina, and it continues to provide paid release time for firefighters and emergency medical technicians. am requesting that a benefit be established to support other volunteer efforts.
Okay, so she was talking about paid release time. One of them was talking about using their sick time.
She just providing employees with their supervisor approval up to 5 days per year of accumulated sick leave to volunteer.
Okay.
Yeah. So time off, but using sick leave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be not that people that aren't at work aren't responsible, but for someone who is there all the time and they're reliable and they have a lot of sick time and they want to take a day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense. Somebody who uses every day of sick time as they accumulate it, so they're off every other week, to then...
She was specifically talking about long service staff, too. She
mm-hmm.
was she was connecting it, the access to that benefit, to long service.
Did she say 5 years, 10 years?
Something like that.
I summarized that. I don't have it in my summary. And the last one was release time for civic engagement, and that was specific to volunteering in the Ithaca City School District.
That's right, and that's something that we're getting from a former employee of the city school who's got a public service grant up here.
Roberta.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I can't support something that advances one school district over another, or schools over nursing homes,
mm-hmm.
or hospitals,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, I mean, I don't think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of civic reasons for people to be down in the community. And, you know, this is where, these are all terrific, but, you know, let's set all these great ideas aside and talk about how the salaries of faculty and staff are paid for and recognize the impact of these on our funding sources. And that's the balancing act. It doesn't mean that people are wrong to ask for it or that we're wrong to want to do it. It does mean, though, that you know, we have to be recognizing of the fact that the pressure on universities to keep their costs down because of the burgeoning cost of tuition. We have been increasing our tuition at several percentage points above inflation for a decade. The 60 to 70% of our total cost is payroll and benefits. So when you add to the payroll cost, there is a fair reaction to that from payers, from families. So it's not that the request is a bad request, and it's not that the business leaders are unsupportive of staff. It's that everyone is balancing those constraints, and I think that's the frame in which to look at it. No one's asking for something unreasonable or rejecting something out of turn. This is a point at which we have to balance all of these things. So that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for some help figuring out how to balance these requests.
We can definitely work on that. I have some creative ideas on how we can put ourselves in the right scenario. Like, you can play every chair, and then we need to get every chair played to come up with realistic ideas. You know, we need someone as the supervisor, and we need someone as the employee. And we need to start bouncing the ideas back and forth and see what's happening, where the problems are.
So before I leave, the NCAA, we are scheduled with the other constituency groups, but unable to schedule our update with the EA. Apparently there's not time on your schedule for us. So
I think we figured out how to work it.
Yeah, we've got it.
Yeah. I heard back from Kristen Walker, and she said, it can be put into 20 minutes, and if it's in 20 minutes, we'll be able to hold it during that meeting on the 5th. So there won't be a problem with that.
Oh, okay. Well, we just changed my whole schedule around. We're told no, so I need to go back. I just put something else in on the 5th.
Okay.
Because I got a no for the 5th.
Okay.
So if I can still do it, I will.
Okay.
But we were looking at trying to get it done in April. It has minimal impact on all of you, but you should know, at least. I would think you'd want to know.
Right.
What's going on with this.
So I guess, I don't know if everybody receives that either. So
that's the point of my coming to
okay.
talk about the NCAA. University has to be certified to offer intercollegiate sports. Your certification comes through the NCAA. It's a 10-year review cycle. We're on our 10-year review cycle now. And so we've had a committee of staff and faculty that have been looking at this for several months. The interim report is being drafted, and we want to go over the initial findings with our constituency mm-hmm. population. So the faculty and the students and the graduate students are scheduled. The only group that wasn't able to fit us in was the EA.
Right.
So it's now I have to go back and refit that in. That's great.
Okay. Yeah, I had both conversations with Kristen Walker, who was the person who initially said you're scheduled on this date. And we'd already scheduled guest lectures for that date, and I asked her if there was any flexibility around
I can't come, but John Silicano, who's the other co-chair, can come in April if you would prefer it in April. It's mid-April, and the report is submitted in May, so it would be harder to get. By then, everyone else will have seen it.
Okay.
But you could do it in April if you prefer. So either way is fine.
If it's in 20 minutes and we can do that, which Kristen said it would work, then we're on track for the fest. We can do it.
Okay.
So, good. That should be no problem.
Ava?
Mary, I think when I walked in, you were talking about item 2, a letter mm-hmm. to supervisors. One of my thoughts on that was that not that many of the supervisors don't even understand what the EA is, what it does. And I found myself not explaining it very well either. And that, in a sense, I was looking for somebody of some status explain the value of having EA members, and more in the sense of a thank you, not in the sense of please let them go, but in appreciation for what the EA members do.
Well, actually, I think it's a fantastic suggestion. And what I might recommend is that we think about something maybe from the president. You're going to see him in a couple of weeks. That before elections are held, reminds people of the self-governance process and what the value of the self-governance process really is. And we've had a little hiccup with the University Assembly recently. And he's he's actually quite committed to shared governance. And so that might be a good thing to do before the elections, which would then allow him, would make more sense then once someone won to get a letter from me saying, thank you for your commitment, as President Scorton described, thank you for your commitment to shared governance by working your schedule so that so-and-so could be on the employee assembly. So maybe it's a two-tier sort of a thing.
We also had, I'm not sure if it was a couple of years ago, but you brought those delicious strawberries from Geneva. We did have a recognition lunch to our supervisors, thanking them for letting us participate. Remember? Yeah, so it's like we've never done anything to thank our supervisors. We have.
I think you should do that.
And maybe
someone wants to do it with strawberries.
Maybe it should be done again. But we have thanked our supervisors for giving us time.
Right. But I think if I...
And not that that's the only thing that should be done.
But I think if we thought about a pre-election letter from the president, that it might fit in well for him right now, too, because he's trying to get his point across about shared governance. That said, elections are coming up. We can focus it on the employee assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And, the employee assembly is coming up. I know things are busy. This is why I think this is an important use of time. If you have somebody contemplating running, I hope you'll work with them, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And in that, you can put something about what the EA's mission is and its accomplishments. And that would be a good place to say what I don't know what the estimated time commitment is. You should be able to say that. The estimated time commitment is, X hours a month or whatever you can, I priority by week, but whatever you think that is could go right in that letter. That would then, I'm encouraging supervisors to talk with staff members are included. I'm encouraging staff members with an interest to talk to their students, whatever the right frame of that is. So is that something?
Email, the email that was sent out for elections last year, which had most of that. It doesn't have the hourly time commitment, but we could just reformat that.
But we could do it as a letter from David. It might give it a little bit more punch, right? Not in certain circles this week. I will say that the staff on the University Assembly behaved in an exemplary fashion. No, I'm serious. It was a great example of professionalism in the way that people had strong views. I think everybody had strong views, but if I can say so, I was very proud of the way the staff handled themselves. It was in stark contrast to the way other people, I don't mean to say anything negative about others. I just was extremely impressed and proud of the way the staff on the UA handled themselves.
So that was a complete recap. Can you just, what happened with the UA?
The code of conduct the management of the code is a delegated authority to the University Assembly. So the way that the code is changed is by the University Assembly recommendation to the president, who then has the right to veto any suggested changes. But what got complicated this time is that instead of the UA saying, we think this should be a change, the university, through a report, said, we think this whole process should change. Here's an idea, University Assembly. It was very radical. Here's this idea about doing it differently. Tell us what you think. And I think it was because it started out in the opposite direction than if you read the code, it seems like it's supposed to go. So the University Assembly looked at it and basically, you know, for the most part, rejected the changes. They made some changes they felt were right, but on the big stuff, they just didn't agree. Sent back a report saying, here's what we think is the right thing to do. The president reviewed that with his senior staff, accepted about half, I would say a little bit more than half of them, but sent back, I don't agree with these changes. And somehow, and unfortunately, it was all done by paper rather than meeting. And so somehow in those interchanges, by the time the set of changes got back to the University Assembly, they felt as though the president was usurping their authority. And so it just got, like, very emotional. And so then people were emoting. So the president actually sat down with all the parties and said, you know, I'm not trying to usurp anybody's authority, but, you know, when I say the word shared, I mean shared, not just you and not just me, but you and me, and that's what we need to do, and so I'm not going to agree to things I don't agree to, and, you know, we just need to keep working at this. And then there was a meeting right after that was very productive. And so the code changes that are still outstanding have mostly to do with procedures and how those procedures are handled. But they're very close, I would say, to finding resolution on pretty much everything. So it turned out fine, but it was a bit of a hiccup.
Are they close enough to have a board? Don't they have to go to the board?
Well, the board ultimately approves the whole thing.
Right.
Wasn't
the president trying to get them to the board this academic year or not?
That was the original threat. So we still have the May board meeting, if it's possible to go. The board, there's no point in taking it to the board if the parties don't agree.
Oh, no,
the
not
board
ready.
won't approve it. So, but I wasn't able to stay for the whole meeting, but there really weren't that many issues still outstanding, and they knocked off almost all of them in one meeting. I think they have two or three more to go, so they're practically there.
Cool.
It was just sort of an unfortunate
situation. But it's turning out fine. And I think it will be a better code because of it. Too much of your time. Thank you. So did I walk out with nothing?
Do you want more pizza?
Ari, can you find that? Maybe that's a good start instead of having people drafting. And then the letter from me, I actually have a draft of that, which once I see what Ari's got, I can position that we go after the election. So one from David before and then one from me after. And you all have your agenda for the meeting with the president set?
Just getting there, yeah.
Because it's the only time you have with him on the deadline this semester, so.
Mary, am I at liberty to send this around for discussion for future discussions of policy?
Well, it didn't go anywhere, so I stamped it confidential, and I'd ask that you not distribute it, because it's not a sanctioned, I mean, it's in policy form, but it's not a sanctioned policy.
Right. Just for the purposes of discussion. Sure.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Move on to the approval of our minutes. We'll start with January 2nd. We were emailed out. Give everybody a couple minutes to browse it real quick. Try to look at these through email if you get time. Mm-hmm.
I would move to approve the minutes as submitted.
Okay.
Second. All in favor of approving January 2nd? Any opposed? Okay. Please know we approve the minutes for January 2nd as are. Move on to January 16th.
Motion to approve the minutes, January 16th.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's pass the minutes for January 16th.
I would like to just commend Amy and the Assembly's office. If you guys remember when Robbie and I started 8 months ago, whatever, that we had all kinds of minutes we had to catch up on and so forth, and they are caught up. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to say thanks to Amy and the office. That's great.
Great, thank you.
Actually, credit goes to the clerks also.
So I said office. I knew there were other people involved.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, if you notice, those were January meetings, not mm-hmm. February. That was really good. Move on to our committee reports. Executive committee. I was not at the executive committee meeting. Do you guys have anything?
We discussed the upcoming elections, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Okay.
We discussed Gary Stewart and his application. Pretty much everything that's on old business and new business. That's what we discussed ahead of this meeting. I can't think of anything else to add.
Great.
Because we're going to be going into it later.
Staff award recognition.
We haven't met, but I'm hopeful we'll meet sometime in the next couple weeks. We have one more dedicated service award recipient to receive, and I understand that's going to be probably in April. Right?
April or May, yes.
Yeah.
Very ill.
And we have, I think, two nominations that have been advanced, so we should be as group to get those underway.
Now, Dennis, are you acting as the chair?
Yes, I'm acting as the chair until somebody relieves me.
Great. Okay, just asking. Any questions for Dennis? Communication committee?
The EA News and Views writers who are coming up next, the next one is actually Deb Howell, but I don't see her here. After that, it is myself, and then after that, I believe it is Bill Liddick. So I'm just announcing it so that people have a little bit of a heads up on who's coming up. Actually, I didn't realize that that was supposed to be something that communication committee did, so now I'm doing this. And thank you to Dennis for reminding me.
That's scary.
That was something to do.
I know she skipped my name, but did I write somebody already?
I did too. But
no,
you
it's
have,
okay.
You
it's
have
okay.
written.
No, it's okay.
You've written one.
I want to write
anymore.
So,
yeah.
Leanne, did you want to?
No, I was just going to ask, is it possible to get one or two in advance just to have them in the can?
Oh, I've tried that before.
Did more?
I am the advance.
Oh.
I know that these are, and this is some interesting, some good feedback for you, Dennis, about these articles. I wouldn't say, you know, admirer, but I've heard some of the articles that I wrote, it's gotten back to me that, you know, some people really enjoy them. They look forward to these EA articles. And, you know, we're really touching certain people that are out there with these articles. So give some thought into what we're doing. But everybody's doing a good job on them.
Brian, I would echo that. I think the quality of the EA news and news columns has gone up. And I think there's more of a variety of items discussed. And you're talking more about issues, I think, more than just about the weather and events. I think when you touch issues, when you talk to people about issues and the values and what it means to work here and the advantages of working in such a spectacular place, I think you really are touching the heartbeat of the staff also.
Yeah. No, I just can't say one last thing. Actually, looking at the nameplate, so Leon, you are before Phil for the EA News Reviews. So it goes alphabetically by last name.
So no, I've written them before,
so,
but
yeah.
What date are you saying?
Well,
that's all
Hoffer comes
know.
Out every
Do
other
have,
week.
So if we have
June,
we're probably looking at it May, or April.
I'm sorry, what date?
April.
April when?
I can't tell you.
Okay. Pat, why don't you share
what you
said?
I'm just wondering, is there a way that we can just have communications created lists with dates? We
yeah.
used to have that.
Mm-hmm. I can do that. I just don't know if it'll change. Sometimes people are out and it gets.
And I just, maybe we would hold
we
that until
a temporary list.
I think it would be helpful. And if you're unable, if you're next on the list and you can't write the article, it should be your responsibility
mm-hmm.
to notify
yeah.
the next one on the list.
Okay.
Would
that make
yeah.
it easier for you, Dennis? You don't have to.
It would make it easier.
Yeah.
The problem that happened in the past that foiled that plan is that there was such a shift in employee assembly candidates coming and going. We'd get one together, and then it would be outdated within 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm. But at least
it's a guide.
Yeah. It's a guide, and maybe it's stabilized enough now that you can try
yeah.
it again.
To give us
okay, I'll do that.
So we're going
I'll
through the
together.
List alphabetically, so
mm-hmm.
I'd be after Bill, and then Pat would be after me.
You're an M.
You get a first strike one now if you want to send it to Dennis.
Do you have old ones so that we can see what they were written about? Because I haven't read them.
The subject was
just
the
website.
Okay. So I'll send out the list. And the last thing on ComCom, we're putting together blurbs and stuff like we did for the child care center. And Leon is helping to facilitate with transportation speaking to create that blurb. And so we'll be sending it out as we did with the child care speakers information so that you can share it with your constituents and it'll be in the Chronicle and in Hawthorne. And that's it for ComCom.
Hey, Finance Bill.
Okay, Finance Committee has not met, but I would like to say that Leanne has offered to join the committee. Thank you, Leanne. Appreciate that very much. And what I want to just say real quick with Pat, yeah, if we can get together,
yep.
we just, and Leanne's idea, and we talked about it before, I think it's a good idea if we can just do it by phone or something.
Absolutely.
There's nothing really pressing, but it certainly would be good to get together and then go over you know, the things that I know right now and just make sure we're all up to speed and so forth. So
absolutely.
If you can,
we'll
at least to you to just
I'll arrange it.
Email us and give us a time.
Yep.
We'll try and make some kind of phone.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill. Emergency grant fund. Dennis, have you heard anything from DEP? The last I knew was there was talk of, and we were going to try to confirm, of a resignation.
DEP has been out of the country, and she's back now, but I know she has a lot of work ahead of her, so I'll give her a few days to things worked out and make contact with her. What I think we can say to folks is that we have been continuing to receive applications. Recently we received an application from an EAP counselor which was ultimately rejected. It was rejected because the individual was not really a Cornell employee, did not receive a Cornell paycheck, was somebody who was a contract worker for one of the fraternities and sororities, or two fraternities and sororities. So this person, you could say this person is part of a larger Cornell community, but was not a Cornell employee. And the guidelines specify a Cornell employee, and the members all weighed in, and I believe one member felt like there was maybe some room for that kind of open interpretation. The other members felt like, given our guidelines and the precedent that it was set, that they would not be able to do so. So I think it's a future initiative of the Emergency Grant Fund and maybe this group to look at how do we deal with people who fall through the cracks, people who lose their apartments, lose everything they have small children in their care, and are in some way tangentially related to this community and are hanging on the hope that the grant might be able to give them a little bit of money. But when our guidelines are such that they are, and I understand why they are, it's precluded. So I think there's got to be some way we as a group can put heads together and find a way to be able to address, at least in some way, these individuals who are falling through the cracks.
So if you don't mind, because we've been talking about looking at the wording for a long time, Dennis, if you don't mind, I'll send out an email to all EGF members, see if we can get together for that purpose.
Sure.
Sound good?
I think it's a proactive step, because I think we've gotten several of these now.
Yeah.
And it just feels bad when you don't fund them.
And the whole faculty awarding of a grant came up. Also, that was a gray line, so we could definitely redefine or interpret better the wording of the EGF. That's what you're going to use? Yeah.
And is that in the charter, the EGF guidelines?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
Why? Can you invite IOC as well?
Me and Peter.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we have a courageous committee available.
Yeah, I will see about getting an email to everybody and see when we can get together. I'll definitely engage you. Okay, well, move on to personnel policy.
Donna's not here, but she was intending to send us an email before today's meeting, but she obviously couldn't get around to it, but she just has something to report about personnel policy and probably about the wellness thing.
Wait, say that again? I'm on that committee, and I don't know what you know.
Donna had something she was going to say about personnel policy, but she's not here today. She was intended to send an email before our meeting, but she didn't get around to it, I guess. But there's something that she wanted to tell us about it, probably about the wellness release time.
Okay.
I think she probably connected with that, and we're going to know the personnel policy committee meeting either next week or the week after, sometime pretty soon.
Because
Monday's
just can't.
That's churning along.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, I don't see.
Bye.
Peter?
All the ISD stuff is actually lower down the agenda with Gary Stewart's application and election rules, and we honestly have a mess. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. University benefits?
That was another thing. Their very first meeting was on Monday, and I was down by didn't go. But Donna did go, and that was one of the meetings that she was going to send us an email about, because apparently they actually talked about a lot of good stuff, and it was really good. So, either? Just see a nod in your head. Is anyone else there? Okay. I guess they talk about a lot of really good stuff. It was a good meeting, so hopefully Donna will send us some information. Bye.
Or if not, we'll catch up with her in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I was interested in telephone meetings. I was interested in. So I wouldn't notify about that meeting.
It meets every. It was scheduled by Sona, but you had to basically several months ago. Everyone's emailed about their interest in university benefits. You weren't here yet.
Yeah.
Everyone who were Susie Tupkin or something like that. Kept in contact with us and let us know about the date. So the first one was this past Monday, and it's going to be every Monday, once a month, from 2:30 to 4:30.
I actually have some more information. The meetings, as I understand it, are usually just the members of the committee who, I don't know if there are any employee vacancies on it right now. I could double check that.
For the university benefits?
Yeah,
that's
but
not
it's
an EA committee.
It's a joint EA faculty senate committee, so it has kind of a unique setup. But the person who handles all the administrative aspects of that committee is Sandy Sutphin, who's the assistant to the dean of faculty.
Can you look into that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But if there's only a certain number of slots for EA members, I'll gladly give mine up to somebody else, because I think it's too much of a commitment for me.
Okay. Well, you're already on.
Yeah, I expressed interest in joining instead of taking anyone else's squad, but it's just always a good one to join. I'm glad to give up my seat. Yeah. So it's just a cap, so I'll work.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just one Monday a month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Apparently they talk about really good stuff, so.
Okay. Thanks, Peter. Employee education, Donna's not here unless...
I guess I need some clarification. Peter, I think you and I have an email connection. I had two individuals who were interested in joining that committee.
Which one?
The employee education.
Okay.
And I think you had sent me a note back saying that Donna's the chair and they should contact her. But I guess I'm wondering if IOC responsible for making sure the committees are populated?
I'm
a little confused because these people are frustrated right now.
I can't force meetings to be scheduled. That, you know, the chair doesn't have time to schedule them. Yeah, I can make it happen. So if someone's interested, I'll make sure, you know, refer them to the correct people.
Okay. I followed protocol and asked them to contact you.
No, it's
you.
The right thing, but
I can provide some additional clarification,
sure.
too. The way it's set up in the charter is Brian can appoint them. If the easiest way to do that would be to have them fill out an online committee application. Have they done that?
No, because they didn't know what to do.
Because if
didn't
they do
know
that, that goes to Brian in that way. You know, like, you know, if this person's interested in employee education. And
okay. So should I, because they contacted me, should I send them the link and ask them to do that?
I'd recommend that you have them do that.
I will do that.
Because at least that way Brian will have their contact information. That also goes to us, so we also have it. And then it's just a matter of putting them on the list. And also, if Donna is like, I don't know, she might be overstretched because it sounds like she's like chairing three committees.
Yeah.
So if she wants to be, that's also a decision of the EA chair as far as if she would like to have somebody else take that responsibility for that committee.
I'm sure that'd be great, but I think we're, you know, difficult to find people to do that, take over that kind of role, you know. I mean, we have trouble enough meeting our biggest committees like ConCom and whatnot, so it's just I think even bigger challenge than the protocol is actually being in committees to meet. You know,
yeah.
It's not really Donna's fault. Everyone here has trouble coming to committees or scheduling them, so it's kind of the state of things.
Yeah.
But I mean, in order to get people to come to a meeting and motivate, it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to do that for three different committees, it might just not be possible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean,
Brian, can you, as chair, can you touch base with Donna and see if, you know, she's a little overstretched and if she would be willing to have somebody new chair, you know, one of the committees, and then that would relieve her from some of.
She's employee education.
She's on four, I think.
What is it? Right?
Education, personnel policy, university benefits.
Finance. She's on finance too, or she was.
Her name might be on there, but I don't think she's ever on there.
But those three?
Mm-hmm.
But the chair is all three too, right?
Right.
Right.
It's not that she's just down, she's the chair.
I think she's probably the chair of all three, because she was the only one who was available to chair then. She was just kind of the de facto chair.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, you know, with two people who are excited to join and stuff, one may chair it too.
Mm-hmm. Or if they don't know anything about it.
I think we need a...
We'd be happy to provide some help, you know, introducing them to what to do in meetings as far as have minutes and things like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's tough to think about it. If you were chair of a committee and you got approached by the chair of the EA saying, hey, do you want to step down? Because we got some people that will help. I
don't think that's appropriate. I think Donna is very experienced. She's not a trainee in any of this. She's been around for a long time. I think it would be inappropriate for any of us to approach her. I think if her plate is running over, I think she would let us know that, or let the chair know that.
I would hope that also.
I thought she had voiced that in previous meetings. That's
but
why I brought it up.
With contact information for these committees, it opens up the communication as far as membership for her committee, and then I can see what I can do that way.
Okay, I'm fine with not having her first. I just previous meetings and he said, you know, I took the chair role because nobody else volunteered.
That's
for
true.
It.
That's a good point. Awesome.
That's why I was mentioning it.
Well, we'll see what we can come up with.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Approaching anybody that way is difficult. Okay. Okay, old business. I did do a late addition to the agenda as old business. And real quick, I didn't know if everybody received the winter retreat recap. I just want to say that it's up there on the table if you didn't get one.
Brian?
Yes?
Sure. Can we actually do Gary's first item first before we do the retreat?
I'm not talking about it. But yeah, I just want to say, take a look at it. If you have any comments about it, let me know. But maybe I didn't include something. Just let me know. Okay? So this is for you guys. This one needs to be done. Gary Stewart cannot attend today. He has shown a lot of interest. We have his packet. We have correspondence from him to Peter in an email. What we did in the past was we had, even Julie is a prime example, is we had the ability, because she was here, ask questions, ask her to go outside, talk about it, and vote. And I stuck to that with Stephanie, made sure we did that. I made sure she was here at the time. I didn't know where she is. With Gary, I'm asking that we talk about it amongst ourselves versus having him here on a question and answer, unless somebody objects.
Well, I actually emailed him about that, and he preferred that we get it out of the way today rather than waiting for him to be available. I gave him both options. I said we can talk about him here with a packet permission, which he emailed,
right,
or wait for the next meeting. He actually preferred that we do it today.
Right. I mean, he may prefer, but it may not be what we want to do. So does anybody object to working on this packet now versus having Gary here? Some people want to have the person face-to-face.
I would prefer to have him here. Sorry, but I think it's easier when you can ask questions, get answers. I can read this all day, but I'd like to talk to him.
Okay.
That's my own opinion. Sorry.
I'm not with him. I was with her just because that's what I had to go through, kind of sit in the hot seat and answer questions.
You did give us his phone number, but we could put him on speakerphone so he could be available for a couple minutes.
I wouldn't have enough time, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
His background is he's excited to join. He's extremely frustrated. So
in the process.
In the process. Like Leanne's voice before, he's getting dragged down.
I just want to add, he's been asking about this since mid-December.
Yep.
So I kind of feel like.
But he's not here. You know, he's not here. But even if he was elected 4 months ago, he's not here right now. You know, I understand he's frustrated, and he's got his packet in. I don't know when he completed it, but January 19th, he signed the eligibility statement.
It was only mid-January that he was signed
up? Well, that was after he was told that he had to do more than, because I had misunderstood from last semester that it was going to be sufficient to have them turn in like a committee application, so that's more geared towards tell us by email, you know, why you're interested in this, because the election materials are more geared towards prove that you've done enough things so we'll put you on the ballot, which is a significant expense and commitment, and when you're appointing somebody it's kind of a different set of considerations. So he submitted that in mid-December, and I think he would be attending the EA meetings if he were.
Well, I mean, he's been coming to the EA meetings despite not being a member, and he came to our retreat as well.
And the retreat.
And he came to the retreat.
Has he
shared before verbally, other than paper, like that?
Well, we talked about the retreat.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he was at the forum as well. So it sounds more like it's just been logistics that we haven't.
And he works here in Day Hall, so he's familiar with employee assembly. I would feel more comfortable appointing him if I had 100% agreement that it's okay that he's not present.
I think I could go with that.
Have you met him, Pat?
You went on a retreat?
I have absolutely no objection to bringing the person on board, but I am a stickler for protocol. And you know, like Julie said, you know, you go through a process, you interview people, you have an opportunity to ask questions, they respond. I'm not saying he won't be elected or appointed, but every time you make an exception to an existing rule, we hurt ourselves. And
well, this isn't an existing rule, though. That was just sort of an ad hoc practice this year that the person was invited to present. The written policy is that the assembly has to vote on the person's appointment, not that any specific hearings or information be considered. I mean, there are requirements about solicitation, but...
But in the past, and I mean, I've been on the EA for a lot of years, I mean, anybody who is interested in joining the EA, in order for us to bring them on, we have an opportunity to talk to them. And the EA asks questions, we ask them to respond. If that's been the protocol, and maybe it's not written in the charter, but if that's what we've done all the way through, why do we change things now?
So you're saying this is a change, and that's...
I'm saying it's a change from my seven, almost 8 years on the EA. We've never just put somebody on that I can recall without at least having a chance to talk to them or ask them some questions. I don't know. I'm not going to be the one that stands in the way of making this move forward. I think we owe it to ourselves to stay with what we've done. And if we're going to change charters, then let's do it. But we can't change things midstream to make it easy.
I think it was done, in fact, at the retreat. I think he did share that information. He explained why he was interested in what he hoped to bring to it and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific questions that you'd like to ask him that he didn't discuss in his materials?
This is the first time I've seen any information out of this person. I don't know him. And I'm not probably alone. I suspect others have not met him either. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy and I don't want to bring him on.
I can't say this in his defense, is that with our schedules, we've pushed this off a lot because of the open forum and speakers coming, that we pushed it off, and he's been available.
Would you be comfortable with us voting whether or not we vote on him today, like vote whether we should push this off to the next meeting in that way?
No, I would say let's vote on him today. If everybody is comfortable, I'm not going to be the one to stand in the way. I just know that I've got to get out of here. Let's make a decision, and I'll be happy with whatever the majority rules. How's that?
I respect that. Thank you.
All right, so we'll do both, and if we get enough abstains, we can see that as pushed off until next time.
Okay. We have his packet. He got it in.
Are there enough people to vote?
Yeah.
So just with a moving forward.
Make a motion to accept Gary Stewart's packet to, basically define the ability to elect him to our vacant position, which, the specific position is just going to be
contract non-exempt.
One of the contract non-exempt positions.
Is he?
No.
I wasn't either.
I second that. We've heard the details. We've heard some discussion. We have some information here. All in favor? Okay. Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay, so that would be... Help me out here.
Four, two, one abstain.
So the 4-2-1, and what is that?
The 4 is not a majority vote, so you'd have to vote. Well, we need the 8 people, we need a majority vote for it to pass. So it's not a tie, but...
It's a majority of the chair membership?
Hmm?
Yeah.
The chair?
Yeah, 4-2-1.
That's only 7 votes, yeah. eight people here. So Brian didn't vote, right?
Right.
Okay.
He doesn't have to.
Gotcha. And nobody left the proxy vote before they left.
Oh, I'm sorry. Enda actually left for proxy, and it says yes. She votes for him.
No.
You like to offend something, don't you? I completely forgot it. Amy said, did anybody leave a proxy? So did it pass?
Let's go.
That happened. Yeah, he's on.
All right.
No, I definitely value your input, Pat. I agree with you, but with all the circumstances, I'm glad we have to push it.
I understand. Just one final point. Contract colleges are so badly underrepresented right now, and now we have just gone ahead and brought somebody in who is not a representative.
Well, if that seat's going to be up for election, it's still going to be up anyway.
Yeah, he's up again.
It's not going to change whether or not that seat will be available.
Right.
Yeah, we can have the room until 2, so I don't know if you want to.
I have to run. I have to really have to go.
Can the rest of this wait?
Yeah.
What
okay.
Yep.
The rest of the week that I was, the election rules discussion, that really can't wait for feedback. You could do it via email.
Well,
sorry,
I could, except you can't really hold a vote on it by email. So I think what we'll do is can't, because we need to print up the rules for the packet before the next VA meeting.
How much more time will it need?
Well, you guys haven't had a chance to read the rules, so I don't think like it'd be fairly expensive.
Oh.
So I think what we'll do is we'll send it out. We'll collect over the next week any feedback we get from anybody, and we'll leave it to the IOC is in charge of elections. So we'll use that group as a deciding body if anything. I don't think there's going to be anything controversial because we're taking the rules that the trustee nominating committee has heavily vetted and just modifying them to comply with EA rules.
Okay.
We're not using the last EA rules because they were really bad.
Okay.
I don't think there will be controversy, but if there is that an acceptable
yes.
sign
with
me? It's sign with me, and there might be controversy because it has to do with the signatures.
Oh.
For an application.
So look at it.
Actually, that's something we could just briefly ask. Since people
well,
are here.
I think I got 5 minutes.
Should people be required? The question was, right now in the election rules, it's required that you have, I think, 25 signatures on your petition to be placed on the ballot. What was brought up, and I think, Peter, you
yeah.
brought it up, so I'm just let you.
I brought up the idea of not having that requirement because it's too much, it's already such a cumbersome process. I'm going to check people who don't sign up to the EA because the election process is so difficult. And I feel like because the elections, they're already elected by their fellow staff, so having the having the signatures available as well is kind of redundant and just kind of adds an extra roadblock to becoming a member.
I don't understand elected by the staff.
Well, I mean, we're supposed to have an election.
Just
so
give us a real bubble.
Yeah.
Hopefully this round we'll have a real election, which means that we would have more applicants
mm-hmm.
than seats
yeah.
that are available. And then it goes to an open election by all staff. They all vote on it.
So I was going to ask
for
you to get a supervisor signature as number one as a mandatory thing just to take care of that.
I agree.
But so there may be conversation about this. We're not
I don't know about the charter. I don't know what the charter says mm-hmm. about election rules. But again, I am always hesitant to change mm-hmm. stuff that's in place without
mm-hmm.
really talking about
yeah.
it and getting it in place.
Okay.
Maybe at the beginning of the new year, let's talk about that. But right now, I'm mm-hmm. for the signatures. I think we got to have them. To me, that shows commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That person took the time to go out and encourage people to commit to saying, yes, we support this individual. I think to take that away is a mistake.
And to reflect on that also, if you're going out and talking to 25 people about you becoming a member of EA, people are going to say, what's EA? That's a great opportunity to reinforce what the EA does.
Yeah.
If the opinions aren't too strong about pushing the change, I kind of feel like because there won't be opportunity to really discuss
mm-hmm.
in another EA meeting, it might be better.
Well, I figure I'll figure that
reserve
change out because we have enough time. But
yeah,
mm-hmm.
but in tabling it, I mean, it seems like we should go more towards not changing it for this election.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
mm-hmm.
but if you're comfortable with that.
I figured that's what was going to happen.
Okay.
So.
There was one last year too. All right, just that you have to fill out. The parents must fill out.
background questions and statements via the web.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if we could add that they could fill out the equivalent form via paper instead of the web, or make some type of accommodation.
We do require that candidates fill it out on the web so that, because otherwise we would have to type everything.
Which I understand, but I think I strongly believe that as far as grounds,
everybody does not have access. They don't have all that. And it might not be that many, but maybe you have a work study that could do it or something. But everybody does not have access like we do. I work with a lot of people that don't have access.
I guess my concern is we have like three elections going on simultaneously, and we have a few days to turn all this material over.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have to validate petitions for not just the employees, we also have to do it for the students.
Maybe it needs to take a longer time to process it then. I don't think we should penalize the staff and possibly eliminate a staff member being able to serve on the EA because they don't.
The person wouldn't be eliminated, but I mean, you know, if there was a special reason why the person, you know, couldn't operate.
They don't have access.
Right.
Some employees just don't even have a Cornell Net ID.
That's why we're putting flyers up for communication.
So maybe it's a good way for EA members that are members now to become mentors,
mm-hmm.
have a contact information sheet available if they need help getting on a computer. I don't have trouble with anybody coming to my office and I'll help them get on.
Right.
And I'm sure everybody that's here wouldn't.
All I wanted is, you know,
right.
because right now it states that unless you do that, you can't
Correct.
Run. So I want something to state that you can run, just call the office for alternative
mm-hmm.
methods to
mm-hmm.
fill that out.
I personally think the post.
I should put something in maybe that says if you're unable to, but
mm-hmm.
I want people by default to have the expectation that they will submit this.
Just like
yeah,
Hazel.
I think that's fine if you're unable to. If you do not have access. Something like that.
Just like Hazel, I would be, anybody that would come to my mm-hmm. office, I would be willing to help them do it. But everybody does not have access. So to make a strict rule that says you must do this.
And there's a lot of people that don't have
I'm comfortable with
that.
That's true.
Is that all right?
I'm just saying, you know,
I don't want it, I
if
want
we
it
luck to out and we have 25 candidates and all of them think that it's okay to just submit something in print.
No, I like the way you worded it. 25
candidates, quite honestly, if they have access, they're going to do it. But have anyway.
They're going
to. I'm not necessarily solid form if I'm doing it.
And I mean, I would even feel comfortable about limiting, like minimizing the number of signatures versus eliminating, but that's the discussion.
So we've decided at this meeting that we're just going to let everything as is continue forward. We don't need any further discussion.
But I still urge you to look at what Ari sent out and get back to him.
Okay.
We'll see that. And Peter, too. Make sure Peter's PC because he's going to be making this decision for us.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Like the meeting.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.